We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it well. We're back at it again. Trust the gut. Climbing your duck. And on the other end is Blaine Jungwirth. Blaine, how's it going today?
It's going pretty good.
It's looking like these lineups have worked out pretty well for us tonight. How are you feeling about how we did today?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Feels like we've been on it all week.
Yeah, now, and it just feels like I sent you that text, we're 90% of the way there to hitting one, just one time. And what's that 10% that we're not getting, or that we're close to finding?
It's just usually like one or two player swaps. We're talking about the right people. We generally have them in there. We just don't have them in the right order. Tonight, we were basically swapping Skoll and power forward, and then having Tony Parker utility away from winning the 100K.
Yeah, so. And specifically to DraftKings, it really comes down to where you slot those players in on the lineup. Instead of having like Kawhi in the forward spot, put him in the small forward spot, because then you can, you know, put a guy like Lewis Scola instead of in the power forward spot in your forward spot if you've already got a pretty good power forward, which I think we did in one of the lineups. Terrence Jones seems to have been the play that we used specifically for the power forward spot, and we got McHale tonight. Well, not only McHale, we got Utah Jazzed tonight.
Yeah, Gobert, dude. Although we did have Gobert. Stellar.
Yeah, what about the Utah Jazz? Are they going to be playing Ups Special? I mean, I was talking with my friend Kyle on the way back from Glendevere. There aren't that many games left. They're not mathematically eliminated yet. They're 8 games out. Do you think... I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but do you think they spoil a couple of teams that are ahead of them during the end of the year?
They're playing better than anybody else, I think, in the league right now. Maybe Golden State? Who's playing better than Utah? Their last 10 games. Since the trade deadline.
Are you talking about... are you talking about in the Western Conference or overall? Because yeah. I think... Oh, on the Western Conference. Oh, I can't think of many teams in the Western Conference. Overall, I think maybe Indiana's played a little bit better than them. Like, you let me know that Indiana's won basically ten of their last 11 or 12 games. Yeah, and I had no idea.
The difference, I think, is Utah's doing it in the Western Conference, although they had an Eastern Conference road trip, but they beat Memphis on the road, they beat San Antonio and Portland. They beat Houston tonight, dominated Houston tonight. And that's all since the trade deadline. They're 9-2, I think, since the trade deadline. Yeah, and their only losses were at Boston by one, and at home against the Lakers, that was just kind of like an aberration. Mm-hmm. But since Gobert has been a starter, I think they've been a top 5 or 3 defense statistically. It's been ridiculous since Gobert started.
It's amazing what a little bit of defensive center can do. This is good for that one card that you had for Kyrie. Now, going back to our talking about core plays and players that you need to be on, or players that we need to be on, at least as we continue to get better and maybe hit one of these jackpots, dude, Kyrie was one guy that you were like, gotta play. Why was Kyrie Irving a guy that you had to get into a lineup for today?
Well, first of all, Kawhi is the only person on the planet who can slow down LeBron, and we all know that. We saw it in the finals the last 2 years. LeBron always seems to struggle from the field against Kawhi, and it happened again tonight. I don't know what his peripheral stats were, but I know that he didn't do too hot shooting from the field. And then Kyrie always seems to step up in games like this. It's why I'm not too worried about him. If people are saying, well, he's never been to the playoffs, but I'm not too worried about him in the playoffs just because he always seems to step up in big games and play well. I mean, he had the huge game against Portland, which is a playoff team. The only time he's really disappointed was against that road game at Atlanta. But otherwise, it just seems like every single time there's a big game, he comes through.
And what's impressive about Kyrie Irving is that even if his team was like, you know, 20 games out of the playoffs when it was just basically him, he was still willing them to wins.
Yeah, I mean, he'd been making ridiculously clutch shots over and over and over.
Yeah, and The one downside to this game going into overtime for maybe one or two of our lineups is that a couple guys that are clawing in on some of these 50-50s might impede our progress.
Yeah, it looks that way.
That's okay. I think that also helps out a couple other lineups that we have, because I put in Kawhi and Tony Parker. So get a little bit of extra basketball for Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard. I think we'll take that. I feel pretty confident to at least still cash and do decently tonight. So we'll see where we end up at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, that one might hurt your main one with Mason Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all good.
Yeah,
we cash in basically everything.
Yeah, it comes out in the wash, in the long run, and maybe even that game goes into overtime. I don't know what the score is at right now, but let's see.
I don't know what the score is. The Knicks are up by 5 with 9 minutes left.
Yeah, so that game could still go into overtime itself. You never know. If it does go into overtime, that's fantastic, because that'll buoy that lineup at least a little bit. So who were a couple of our core plays for tonight?
Scola ended up being a core play that hit big time.
And that was mostly on the news that Roy Hibbert wasn't going to play. What made you key in on Luis Scola instead of going with Jan Mahinmi or, LaVoy Allen or David West even?
The first thing that helped was that he's a power forward. So he doesn't – Mahinmi and Allen are both centers. And that I really wanted to play Gobert tonight. So – playing Scola, if I played Mahinmi, it would limit, your ability to play Gobert unless you put him in utility.
And that really hamstrings your ability and your team's upside, because
exactly.
you've now got to hope that LaVoy Allen or Jan Mahinmi, goes off for like seven to ten times his value to make up for having to put for having to put Rudy Gobert as your utility player.
Yeah, and the other thing was Scola's had good splits when Hibbert's out. He's averaged, I think it's over 25 fantasy points a game, which is pretty solid. And he's only $4,000 on DraftKings.
That's in six time value. Yeah, that's a good value. So that worked out really well. Terrence Jones was another one of our core plays. I think, as I mentioned near the beginning of the podcast. He did rather well for what was expected of him. He wasn't highly owned in almost anything that we had playing. I mean, he was 7% owned in one of our 50-50s. He was like 10% owned in another. And then in a couple of the GPPs, he wasn't even close to 10% owned, which I thought was really odd. Like, I don't know why he would be that under-owned at power forward. Comparatively, maybe it was because of the fact that there weren't very many, like the Star Grizzlies weren't playing, so they were like, maybe I'll throw in Favors, or I'll go with Lure, or I'll go with
someone else. The marquee game of Spurs Cavs, people probably played Duncan.
And Duncan had a pretty huge
and
game.
Kevin Love as well.
Yeah, it looked like Duncan had a pretty huge game too. So you can't really. I don't know, I can't complain too much that Terrence Ross wasn't heavily owned, but I can definitely understand why he wasn't at the same time, because, there are a couple
and
of...
He almost had a double-double at halftime.
Yeah.
He had like 7 points, 9 rebounds or something. So it was kind of bad luck for him to end up with what he had.
Yeah, we got Kevin McHale. The Rockets haven't looked too hot the last like week and a half, and I don't know if it's maybe the bigs are getting a little too tired having to guard everybody, maybe James Harden slowing down just a smidgen. I don't know. They just haven't looked as good as they had, just going into the just after the All-Star break. Because going into the All-Star break, they kind of struggled too. So maybe they're having a little bit of a lull before they find out what happens. Another core play for us was Jeff Green, and that was because of all the opportunities afforded him with Zach Randolph going down, Marc Gasol being out. Well, they're both being out for rest, and it just seemed like...
And Conley, too.
Yeah, and Conley as well. So it just seemed natural to look to Jeff Green, and it was just unfortunate that they ran into a buzzsaw that was the Wizards.
They looked good in the first quarter, and then they just kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And the Wizards poured on, and then Jaeger was content just to pull Danny... I mean, yeah... Jeff Green in the fourth quarter, not even planned.
Yeah,
even though they were within 16 for a lot of that fourth quarter, but
you never know what he was thinking for the playoffs, and that's smart. And then another core play was Tony Parker, I think, was another guy that we wanted to get in across.
Yeah, although I don't think we did in all of them. We ended up changing that to John Wall. With the Conley news, and that one looked good too. But again, the blowout,
it really
hamstrung us tonight.
Yeah, and that seems to have been the only thing that limited us from doing super well across the table or across the board was the fact that that Memphis Grizzlies Washington Wizards game was a blowout, and then the Rockets Jazz game was another blowout. Surprising. I did not foresee that happening. And even though they had it within, I think they had it within 16 at one point, Mikal was like, meh, we had a tough game last night. No need to really force it today. I'll call off the dogs. It'll be over.
Yep. That's pretty much what happened.
So
pretty frustrating to be on the wrong side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. However, the one lineup that went against the grain, or against the core play philosophy we've adopted the last week and a half, 2 weeks, is a lineup that I just kind of threw it together maybe early in the afternoon, and then as the news came in, I kept editing it, and it just felt right, and I was like, should I enter this into a three into the sharpshooter? You're like, yeah, why not? Just do it. If it hits, it hits. It felt good and it felt right. And it was a lineup that consisted of Michael Carter Williams, a guy who I liked last night, Chris Middleton, Jeff Green, Terrence Jones, our boy, the Stifle Tower, and Gobert, Langston Galloway as a late minute add, Luis Scola as another late minute add. And then John Wall as a late-minute add, too. Mostly because we were pivoting. I was pivoting off of the fact that I had 8,100 left. And I was like, I could play Wall. I could play Kawhi Leonard. I could have played either of them, and it would have worked out phenomenally. But I think it was the news when you told me that Hibbert wasn't going to play. I was like, I like Michael Carter-Williams a lot more. Boom, going to keep him as my point guard. Take out Tony Parker. Put Langston Galloway as a fade, because you were like, that's a good fade of Schved. Put him there. Yeah. Was able to put Scola in, and then I was like, oh, I've got a ton of money for the util spot. Bam. John Wall. And I think if that Grizzlies game isn't as bad as it, isn't as blowouty as it was, that one's looking down the barrel of taking down some money or something like that.
Yeah, well, and if you just take your lineup, it might be changed now because Kyrie is just, I think he has 70-something, what does he have? I think he's up to 73 points.
Mm-hmm.
He has 73 points. But if you had taken your lineup, put Scola at power forward instead of Terrence Jones, and then played Kawhi, and then changed John Wall to Tony Parker, your lineup probably wins the 100K.
Maybe even change John Wall to Kyrie Irving. I mean, even do that, and that's looking down the barrel. Yeah, the lineup that I just called off at one point was winning, like $78.
Yeah, you were in the top 10 of the 12K for a while.
Yeah, and I've since more or less dropped like a rock. But it's good to know that it's cashing, and we're gonna be leaving tonight with more money than we started with, and that's the main thing. Really. Yeah.
We put in 9 contests and we're going to cash in 7 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, put in 11.75 and make out with close to 30. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Anyway, moving along, we should talk about tomorrow's games and tomorrow's roster construction. Have you looked at any of the games so far?
Are you freaking kidding me, Kyrie?
What's happening? Is he?
Absurd shots. Just that is ridiculous. The shot he just made. He's got 55 points now. He just hit like a step back fadeaway three over Tim Duncan. I think he scored 10 points in overtime now.
Oh my goodness!
He's just killing it.
Oh my god, really? Dude, he's like, this guy should have gone with, and it wasn't as if we didn't stick with the gut. We had Kyrie in at least one lineup in a pretty big contest. Probably
one of our two main lineups, really.
Should have just played him a little bit more. That's really all it is.
Yep.
That's really all it is. Yeah, man, he is like holding up. He's single-handedly holding up one of our lineups and just destroying another one.
Yeah.
Langston Galloway hasn't really done much in the fourth quarter, so that's unfortunate. But we digress and we move on, because as long as he keeps doing stuff and if there's another overtime, I don't care. That's more potential bang for the buck. Oh man, they're up 3-2. Oof.
They're about to go up 4. I think Kyrie's not going to miss a free throw.
Oh man! Yeah. Alrighty, here we go. But you've looked ahead for tomorrow's games.
Yeah,
and
I like the slate for tomorrow. It looks good.
Where do you start?
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, my boy.
He has a huge
opportunity now that Al Jefferson's out.
Well, not only Al Jefferson, also because Cody Zeller is going to be out as well with that shoulder issue. So I'm with you. I look, not only do I look at Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, I also look at Marvin Williams as a guy that's going to get a ton of minutes tomorrow.
Yep, and you know one more spot that I also love. We've talked about him a long time ago earlier this year, how much better he looks.
Mm-hmm.
Bismack Biyombo.
Bargain bin, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he's 3,100.
And with the way
that guy, he's so athletic. I mean, he's only 6'9", right? So athletic, and if he just gets 30 minutes, he's going to get like 25 rebounds. I mean, maybe not that high, but against Sacramento, he got 23 minutes and got 7.6 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. So if you're paying 3,100 for him, that's good value.
You got to suck it up and just pay for it. Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, the one thing that stinks is he's a center, so he's gonna lock up any he may cap your upside, but the fact that he's gonna be getting a ton of minutes, he's already been given the starter role for tomorrow against a Chicago team that's been pretty abysmal, and they'll probably be without Joakim Noah. I don't feel bad looking at Bismack and saying, I'm going to save money there and spend up elsewhere. Because you got a guy like Boogie playing against Philadelphia. That game could be a blow-up, but you could put Boogie in your utility spot and feel completely fine, because he kind of plays more like a guard than a center anyway.
Yeah, yep, I agree. Kyrie Irving's handle is tighter than OJ's glove.
Never too late for that one. Never too late. I think one last play from the Chicago Charlotte game. Aaron Brooks.
Charlotte struggled against point guards.
And I don't think that stops. And I think a guy like Aaron Brooks, he's in a little bit of a zone. He went off on Wednesday. Yes, on Wednesday.
No, LeBron just hit the dagger.
Ah, well, you can't win them all, guys. You can't win them all. And I bet you he's just thinking in his head, try and stop that next time, Kawhi. Or he's thinking
I think he hit value just because it went into overtime. So it was a good fade, I think, overall.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. Yeah, it looks like Langston Galloway is pretty much done for the night with the Knicks up 10. I don't really see him doing too much or the Knicks doing too much unless they just have a massive brain fart.
Yeah.
So not a bad night overall. But back to Aaron Brooks. I think he's in a little bit of a groove now. He's going to be getting the minutes because Thibodeau will run him into the ground. You know, under six, completely fine with paying for Aaron Brooks and letting him play. That Chicago-Charlotte game should have some... Everybody should have a lot of skin in that, at least for the early part, to get their nights moving and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where else are you looking? I see that Russell Westbrook is still at 12-5 against Minnesota. Do you see that being a game where you will play Russell Westbrook, or you think about playing Russell Westbrook?
Man. I think we'll have him in at least one lineup.
Mm.
I think I don't even Minnesota is like ranked pretty well against point guards, but the problem is that they're going up against Rubio, who has shaky ankles right now. Who's really going to guard Westbrook? I mean, I guess they'll put Wiggins on him, maybe. I just don't see anybody in Minnesota stopping him, and they're limited in their front court right now. That should be Minnesota's giving up the most points to anybody in the league, so I don't mind running out Russell Westbrook at 12-5 tomorrow.
Okay,
I don't think you should be fully invested in him. I wouldn't have him on my lands, but I think you got to have him in at least one or two.
Yeah, I think I don't want to just like toss it all onto you. I think in that regard, you're on your own there. Like I don't see myself trying to fit Russell Westbrook in any lineup. I think I'm fading. I'd like to fade him until he got back to like 11 something, because I mean, what did he jump from to 12-5? Because he was at 12 for a game or two. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, he went from 11-3 to 12, and then 12 to 12-5 over three games. And I mean, I don't know why they didn't just jump him up to 12 after he almost went for 95 against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, you were getting a bargain after that. After that game against Chicago and Toronto, or after, you know, against Chicago. But yeah, I think you're on your own there. I would probably go with, you know, let's see here. Maybe Kyle Lowry has a pretty decent game against Miami tomorrow. Aaron Brooks is mentioned. Even a guy like, even like Marcus Smart, they had a pretty nice game against Orlando last weekend. Maybe he does it again.
Is Thomas going to be out? That's the big question.
Thomas is going to be out until at least Monday, is what I've read. Okay. So it's really up to Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, and who's Evan Turner until Monday. And I think going back, if I'm going to do a bust out, Elfrid Payton. He had a phenomenal game against the Celtics.
Ooh, even against Marcus Smart?
Yeah. I think if I was to bust out, I mean he didn't have to score against them on Sunday. I mean what did he do? He did 19, 10, and 7. Did that on Marcus Smart not more than 4 days ago. Totally fine with that.
Oh, I forgot about that game.
Totally, dude. If we put Elfrid Payton in that lineup, we win basically. So it's just showing how close we've become. We've become really, really close. So I think if I'm building my lineup for tonight, I'm gonna go with Elfrid Payton at point guard. So that's my bust out and my one play that I'm looking at. In an early game.
This is kind of segue into bust outs.
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna take. I'm pretty much gonna go with premium players for the first two. So I'm going to take DeMarcus Cousins as my first bust out. Philly is good enough, or that game is going to be close. They're one of the worst teams, if not the worst team, against centers. I know he's been bugged by an ankle injury, but in his last four games, he's put up 54, 58, 41, 42. So I'm not concerned about it at all. I don't see anybody on Sacramento being able to slow him down in the least bit.
You mean Philadelphia, right?
Yeah. And Sacramento.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Not even George Karl will slow him down.
Yep. So DeMarcus Cousins is my first pick to bust out.
And he's under 10 still.
Yep. I mean, on DraftKings he probably needs to get you 54, which is eminently doable against Philadelphia. As long as that game is close, they'll have the pace. They don't have, like I said, they don't have anybody who can guard him. The rebounds will be there for him. The blocks will be there for him if he wants it. He shouldn't have any problems getting the shots he wants. So I have no issues running DeMarcus out there, 9,500.
Okay, I can get behind that. I can actually, I just put him in just because, why not? Why not? The late slates are moderately interesting. They play Detroit. Detroit, Portland should be. That should be a fun one. I mean, I see. I don't know.
That's my second bust out is in that game.
Okay, go for it. Actually, go for it.
All right, I'm gonna take LaMarcus Aldridge as my second bust out.
Hmm.
Detroit has been as good as Monroe and as Cousins, as good as Monroe and Drummond are as a front court together. They are just completely lost on defense. Even Bogut, I think, was tearing him up the other day, and he never plays. So
he hasn't found it that easy to score since like Utah.
Yeah. So I would definitely look at Aldridge at 9,000, and then I would look at Robin Lopez as well. I think he's only 4,000. He's obviously a double-double threat, and he should get it against Detroit. The rebounds will be there for him if he wants them.
Yeah, and I think my first bust will probably be Greg Monroe for tomorrow. As well as he has been playing, I don't see him being able to do too much because they're gonna probably pack. I think Portland packs the paint against them tomorrow pretty well, and they'll live with Drummond getting rebounds and putbacks and everything. But what is Greg Monroe gonna do if he's not? If he's not getting boards and garbage buckets, he's gonna probably float around high post or that elbow area and, you know, hoist a couple of shots. And you're just gonna be sitting there like, why don't you just work and live in the post, man? You're, you know, 7 feet tall. And I think that's what happens. And you know, at 7'8", why pay? Why pay for that if you can just go up a couple to LaMarcus? Or even down a bit to Mirotic, who probably will continue to be heavily owned. There's Nerlens Noel that's playing pretty darn good basketball at this point of the season. Kenneth Faried is another really good player at this point. Marcus or Markieff Morris, even they may start again this coming game against Atlanta. I mean, there's plenty. I think power forward is pretty deep tomorrow, where you don't have to worry about paying up all the way. And if you do pay up all the way, pay for a guy like LaMarcus or Pau Gasol if you want to. So,
agreed.
And that's where I'm at.
All right, so I will take. Do you got another one?
I'm looking at the moment. I think. No, I'm still looking. I'll wait. I'm still looking.
All right, I'll go with a bust because I've already let off with a couple bust outs, and I will take Andre Drummond. So kind of going on with the same thing you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Drummond obviously isn't going to sit in the perimeter all day, but Portland's if they're not the best rebounding team in the league, they're up in the top five. I just don't think – I think he had 14 and 27 or something stupid against Golden State. I don't think he comes anywhere near repeating that performance.
Yeah, I just – and that was an interesting game because Golden State plays so small still.
Yeah, they love that lineup.
I mean, it's a great lineup. It creates so many different matchup problems all across the board. However, you know, it just makes it easy for a big guy, a relentless rebounder like Andre Drummond, to get his and then some. But against a team like Portland that will look to pack the paint. And they have everybody rebound now. Everybody, even Damian Lillard, his rebounding rate has gone off the charts.
Yeah, he's been really
this
good
rebounding this entire season. And Nicola Batum looks to be over whatever was ailing him, and then some, so far. So I think that it makes it even harder for Andre Drummond to make good on his double-double potential tomorrow. I think he gets double-digit rebounds. I don't think he gets double-digit points, though.
All right.
I mean, that's just me.
I agree.
My next bust outplay for tomorrow is a dude that's been lighting it up. He was our boy for a bit as he was coming back from knee injury, steadily gaining more value. His price was increasing relative to his production, and now it's kind of leveled off in an area that I feel comfortable with. Danilo Gallinari.
Danilo.
I think the Italian stallion. He's from Italia. He's from Italy, right? Yeah, he is. I think he goes bonkers, just straight bonkers, like he's from Yonkers, against the Golden State Warriors tomorrow. He looked really. Get this, 24 minutes, 40 points. His shot's on point right now. And the way that Denver's been playing, they've been playing competitive basketball. As much as like we've been railing on Denver for most of February,
how much did they hate Brian Shaw?
Dude, they had to have just not liked going to work at all.
And then some. That was a whole other level of discontent.
I mean,
for them to be this good after firing him and to be that bad before, you're like, oh.
I wonder what the chants now are in the huddle. Like, are they still 1, 2, 3, 5 more weeks? Or are they now like 1, 2, 3, we're up 17? Like, what is it at now? What's it doing now? So, feel confident playing Denver Nuggets from this point on, I think. They're on another level. It's amazing how one thing can change an entire team's outlook on a season, or like how to end a season or something. And then I think another bust out could be Marcus Morris tomorrow. His price has gone up a little bit over the last week and a half or so.
Yeah.
But I think he still gets the minutes. I think the one thing with him is when he gets the shots, he's not making them. And if he starts making a couple more shots, maybe Jeff Hornacek feels comfortable leaving him out there in late game lineups. Like he played really, really well against Minnesota.
They couldn't hit anything.
But he wasn't hit.
I think he had 22 fantasy points in the first quarter.
Yeah, he stopped making shots.
Yep.
And he fell short of a double double. I mean, one rebound and 2 points away from basically making 31, 33, 34 and a half. Like, it's not, it doesn't seem hard, but it is hard to be able to get that. But I like him against Atlanta mostly because could be blowout potential, could be relatively close game potential, but he's going to get the minutes because they don't have anybody in that front court that is really worth playing or really worth paying for.
Yeah, not particularly.
And I think I know who you could be going to next as a bust out if you so choose to go that route from that Phoenix Suns team.
Do you want to have the honors, or do you want me to?
No,
I'll the same player. Right?
I will let you take that because that's all you. You were on it like the Drake song yesterday for that guy, and we didn't play enough of him at all.
No, all right. So this guy. Did we talk about him on Tuesday?
No, we didn't even mention him. We didn't like there are some players that we don't mention during the podcast that we end up mentioning after the fact, and we always neglect to mention them the next podcast over so that our listeners and Ian know that we talk about everybody.
Yeah,
equally.
All right, so this guy he's a rookie. For Phoenix, he's finally starting to get minutes. All he does is score. He gets some rebounds, but the number one thing he's going to do is he's going to score. And it's TJ Warren. His minutes have gone from like single digit minutes. He's played 20 minutes the last two games. He hit 8 out of 10 field goals against Minnesota. He's not like an ISO heavy player. He just kind of finds like little pockets in the defense, or he cuts. He just does things that really nobody else on Phoenix does, and that just lead to easy baskets. So he's only 3,300 right now. Even against Atlanta's really good defense, I don't have an issue with playing him. And the other good thing about him, since he's a bench warmer, is that even if he's not really a bench warmer now, but since he's still a rookie, even if Atlanta starts blowing out Phoenix, he will continue to get the minutes. So I'm not worried about him being rested in a blowout like some of the other guys that happened to us tonight.
Yeah, not even rested or just like not even played, like close to even think, you know, being thought about playing, which is interesting, which is good and which is interesting. I think I'm gonna go bust for my next one because I've gone bust up the last two times. I don't see a guy like I don't see very many forwards from Minnesota going off tomorrow. And I think I'm gonna key in mostly on Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins doesn't have too hot of a game because even as bad as the Oklahoma City Thunder wings are, he's going to probably have to do some heavy guarding of Westbrook. And not only that, he just hasn't looked too hot the last couple of games, and I don't see him bucking that trend anytime soon. And I think a lot of that has to stem from the fact that Rubio's ankles might start to become a problem for not only Rubio but the team in general, because they're going to have to rely more on, you know, Zach LaVine or a combo guard like Gary Neal to initiate the offense, or even Kevin Martin to initiate the offense, and that bogs everything down. Timing gets messed up, and Wiggins, who lives off of getting things off cuts and crisp passes, just won't be there for him. So Andrew Wiggins or any other kind of forward like Adrian Payne, I don't see them doing too much against the Thunder. It's probably going to end up being mostly guards and a little bit of Nikola Pekovic and Gorgui Dieng or something like that.
All right, I'm going to stick with that same game, and I'm going to pick a bust out, and I'm going to go with Kevin Martin. JJ Redick just destroyed Oklahoma City, and Kevin Martin, similar kind of game, lots of shots off of screens, outside shooter, generally pretty empty stats. Oklahoma City really does not have a wing defender at all, and I don't have a problem with Kevin Martin's 5,900. I usually hate taking him just because he's one of those, if he's not scoring, he's not doing anything, guys, but I don't mind it against this Oklahoma City defense, and I'm willing to take a shot on him. I think he's a good GPP play.
Let me ask you a question before we continue on bust outs and everything. What do you think about Gerald Henderson tomorrow against the Chicago Bulls?
Usually like anybody against Chicago. If I was going to play a wing from Charlotte, it would definitely be MKG.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a good GPP play, but I don't know. I just don't have any faith in Gerald Henderson to step up for me. Like, if I don't think I'll have him in any lineups personally.
I only ask because even with this is how swing and miss this guy is. 35 against Detroit, 6.75 against Washington the next day. Then he comes out yesterday with 42. And that's with Mo starting and then Kemba Walker coming back. He ends up with 17 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds.
Yeah, which is a weird line because they had Mo and Kemba.
And I'm just curious, like, how does that work out?
Just lots of guys hitting shots, I think. I mean, it's against Sacramento, so their defense, their rotations aren't exactly the best. I'm assuming I didn't watch the entire game. I'm just guessing that for Gerald Henderson to be doing that, it just had to have been something where everybody who was passing it to was just hitting their shots.
Okay.
So yeah. Weird line, though, for him. He's not one of those guys who does that.
No. I mean, there was an early stretch where Kemba was out where he was diamond really nicely. But, I mean, even against Detroit, he had 13-9 with 6 rebounds. He averages 2.8 assists a game. That's, I don't know, that's really odd.
Yeah.
That he would, well, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. I think mostly that might just be a trend to watch before it becomes something.
I agree.
Because he had a really nice first 2 weeks of February and then kind of just bottomed out. But going along with bust outs and busts, I think is it questionable that Blake Griffin's still out? Okay. I think DeAndre Jordan kind of just keeps on humming along. I think he busts out again, even against a guy like Tyson Chandler. The Mavericks just don't look good at all. They don't know what's going on. I don't think they know what's going on with anything.
I think they're 500 over the last 14 games or something like that.
Yeah, and I see DeAndre Jordan as a guy that you just continue to sack up and pay for because he's their only rebounder, he's their only shot blocker, and he's a pretty darn good play. I think also another bust out from the same game, same team, Matt Barnes. You gotta look at Matt Barnes. I think pretty heavily. I would even take out Danilo Gallinari just to save $1,000 and put Matt Barnes in and not think twice about it. He was a late call. He was a late call for me. Yesterday, and it worked out pretty well. He scored 40 points.
So yeah, that was a good one. That was a smart.
And again,
think about Matt Barnes really because it was. I don't usually trust guys with muscle injuries like that because you never know when it's aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a good call.
And another good thing, it was picking on the matchup, and that matchup was Oklahoma City, and the fact that they'll play Roberson, and I don't even know who their three is. Or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So, what's the matchup rating for the 7th, but I mean, he's going up against Chandler Parsons, who's got bulky ankles. Aminu's not going to, may not play. And then Richard Jefferson, who? I mean, I know who he is, but he's not going to see the floor.
More like Richard Jefferson, old.
Yeah, DNP, old.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich is one of those people that I want to have dinner with. Like, you know that question, who are the top 3 people you'd have dinner with? Greg Popovich is on that list.
Hey, he comes to Oregon every summer.
Yeah, he loves wine. Yeah, so. Dude, that's why. He loves wine. I'm okay with wine. And I'd love to just, like, talk, just shoot the shit with him. Like, it'd be amazing shit chat, I believe. I think it'd be great.
Amazing shit chat.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, all the shit would be chat and shot. It'd be amazing. It'd be just amazing. Obnoxiousness. Where do we go? Where do we go from here?
I'll try to keep us on track. I think I'm gonna pick up another. I don't remember what I did last time. I think I did a bust out with Kevin Martin. So I'll come back with a bust, and I'm gonna say that Victor Oladipo will bust tomorrow.
Yeah.
8,100 now. He had a huge game against Boston the last time they played, but Avery Bradley wasn't healthy. And Avery Bradley's back, and if he's not the best perimeter defender in the NBA at this point, he's up there. So I feel like I said that about everything, though. If this team is not the best, then they're in the top 5. If this player's not the best, then he's in the top 5.
I would argue that you do say that.
Yeah.
And
okay, fine. Avery Bradley is the best
perimeter. He's got to be the best, right? I mean,
yeah.
We had talked about this earlier. They're the fact that Smart starts now and Avery Bradley is his running mate on the wing, like that's why the ones and twos of the other teams suck against them.
Yeah, it's either Avery Bradley, Tony Allen, or Michael K. Gilchrist. I think those are the top 3 perimeter defenders.
Right? Oh man, yeah, and like that's solid. I mean, what about Kawhi though? Kawhi's pretty up there,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, Kawhi's up there.
I mean, okay.
Chris Paul's up there.
If you're building a 5, the 5 has to be Paul, not in any order. Not in any order, but it would be Paul, Kawhi, MKG, Tony Allen, Avery Bradley, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's okay. That's a decent 5. I mean, that's a good top 5. That's a Complex magazine top 5 right there. Except better than Complex. So suck it, Complex. #Complex. Yeah,
I give Avery Bradley's perimeter defense a 5-mic rating.
A 5-mic rating? Good. Not a lot of albums get that. Only Kanye's.
Yeah.
What about that new Kanye song? We're digressing way too much, but what about that new Kanye song? How do you feel about All Day? All Day!
It's terrible. No, I'm kidding. It sounds awesome.
I wonder...
That's the Kanye that should have been around when he released Yeezus.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if Adrian Peterson takes that as, like, his warm-up music. All Day! How long does I run?
So he can't play, day. Like, any sentence from that song.
No, he can't. Yeah,
not like in a family-friendly.
Yeah, he's that's why he's got his beats. That's why he's got his beats.
That's right. The thing with Kanye though is he releases that song. It's like, all right, Kanye, you're back. And then he comes out with that Kim Kardashian auto-tune 808's trash that he released yesterday. That was awful. Or maybe it wasn't yesterday. It was the day before or something.
Just
did you listen to that song?
No, you told me not to. I didn't want to hurt.
Dude, it's atrocious.
I didn't want to hurt my eardrums. I hope it's not on the album. I just
so help me God.
So I shared the song with the student that I work with, and he was like, "This is nice. This is nice." And he's like 14, 15. It's like he like vaguely remembers College Dropout. He likes Kanye. He's like one of the few students that I work with that enjoy Kanye, but he doesn't really remember a lot of the Kanye stuff because when he was like, let's see, 14, he was like, it's like what?
The College Dropout came out in what?
2005? So he was
Was it 2003? No.
No, it was I think it was 2004 or 2005.
It was February 10th, 2004.
Yeah, so he was like. He was like 3 when it came out, so of course he's not gonna fucking remember. But yeah, it was that should be his birth soundtrack probably.
Yeah, he should just listen to that instead of something stuff that's out now.
Oh my god, that's what I tell a lot of them. There are a couple of them. Man, I don't like him because he does this and that. It's like, okay, you have to realize that a decade ago, this guy was one of the best out, like one of the up and coming best out. Like he's better than he was better than Wale. He was better than. J. Cole, he was better than Meek Mill, you know, all these guys that are coming out now. And everything that you kids are listening to now was inspired, one, by him, and two, one half of what he is, or like 100% less than what he is. It's incredible. Like they're getting him after he got gassed up, and all that stuff. I mean, so
at least they got My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. But even that, you kind of needed to.
You needed the context.
Yeah, exactly.
You needed the context. Kind of
really kind of like that sounds like elitist, but you needed to kind of know what came before that.
Really
get it.
Yeah,
but that's a great album, though. I think. That and College Dropout are my two favorite Kanye albums.
Oh man, they're great. Like they're phenomenal to listen to. I love them.
And that's not even speaking poorly of Late Registration, man. That's a freaking sweet album.
No, that's a good album because he became more operatic about it. Or like more, that was an awful word. Very opera about it. I don't know why I said operatic. Yeah. He introduced a lot more strings, opera like sounds. Like I think he spent like a couple of months talking with composers and symphony orchestras and everything about how to develop that sound and put it into his music. So like you hear a lot of like Late has all that string instrument in the beginning. Gone. Like it's just, you know, it just sounded so much more epic than anything else that was out.
I think I think Gone is my favorite underappreciated Kanye song.
Gone is a good song. That is a good song. That was one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
There was a stretch
It's interesting how, like, you can kind of see the progression in his music throughout. So you start out with when he's producing, and it's basically a lot of soul samples.
Mm-hmm.
And even College Dropout was a ton of soul samples. And then he moved into the string instruments for Late Registration. And then
techno-y.
And, Graduation, he kind of got into like the techno, and then he got the auto-tune for 808s, and then he combined the two into My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Mm. And then now he's like in this industrial I didn't know what to call it, electronic music, I guess.
Mm.
But they kind of formed these. That's why I'm so optimistic about this new album, is if he figured out how to mix it with his classic sound. That's going to be, like, All Day is a good example of a song where you can hear, like, classic classic Kanye stuff, but then it also has that Yeezus sound to it.
Yeah, yeah, so. and that's going to be a nice sweet spot and interesting to see
what comes of it. Yeah, if he can pull it off.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. He's pulled off awesome stuff. He's pulled off awesome stuff before, so
yeah.
I feel pretty confident about it. Yeah. Coming back into basketball, All Day.
Hey, and also Kendrick Lamar's album is coming out in 10 days.
Oh, yes.
I'm fired up for that one.
Yes. Yes. And while the berry may be sweeter if it's blacker, the one thing that remains true if you're a point guard is that if you're playing the Toronto Raptors, you're going to go off. Goran Dragic, fire him up. Fire him up. How many days of the week? All days of the week. I think he kills it. His back's been causing him some problems the last couple of games.
You're going to need to watch the waiver wire.
So it's going to be watching Basketball Monster, watching GT decisions, stuff like that, to make sure that he's good to go. But I think he's a good play against Toronto, not only because of the fact that it's against Toronto, but there's nobody else in that backcourt that is going to be taking minutes from him at all.
No, he gets as much as he wants.
He literally can have his cake and eat it too. I mean, the instant he came back against Brooklyn, 35 minutes. He's not sharing. Yep. He's not a friendly guy. He's not going to share. So, Goran Dragic, I feel fine playing him in standard leagues. I feel fine playing him in daily fantasy leagues. I feel fine playing him in my underwear. I don't care. Goran Dragic, play him.
All right. The more Slovenia and the berry, the sweeter the juice just doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't.
Well.
It does not. And I don't even think Slovenians have berries that grow there. Or Slovenia has berries that grow there. Wah, wah.
All right. My next pick to bust out, I'm going to go back to that Sacramento-Philly game. I'm going to pick Mr. Wonderful, Ben McLemore.
Ooh. Ooh.
Mr. Wonderful is a nice little nod to another upcoming hip-hop album. That should be awesome.
I'm so excited for... Is that Action Bronson?
Yeah.
I am so excited for that album.
He's been crushing it. All those songs he's put out lately have been just fire.
He is amazing. Yeah. He is like... He might... I love Kanye. I love Kendrick Lamar, but I think he... Just him and his energy, he's like my rap spirit animal.
Yeah, his personality.
He is
have
so
you
awesome.
His eating show?
No, I have not. So I have not watched Fuck That's Delicious. What I have seen is I have seen a couple of his cooking. He does a couple of cooking shows on YouTube. I watched him make garlic salmon aioli. Looked easy, but his commentary is fantastic. He was talking about what it's like if you don't wash your hands. He's like, fucking, if you don't wash your hands, you're disgusting. I never want to see you in my kitchen ever again. I'm a slap in the face. It's gross. Learn something. Action Bronson in the house. And then he was the other one where he was talking about making the shrimp. And you go, oh, Action, why do you make this? It's because he's like, because I want to look good, bitch. I just want to look good. And I just was dying. It was just great. It's just such good stuff. Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome. Yeah, Action Bronson, great, great personality.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He even pulls off the Guy Fieri look better than anybody that I know. Better than Guy Fieri, even.
Yeah.
But getting back, man, this is good talk. But getting back to it again, I think, I don't know if I'm tapped out on bust out or busts, but I just don't. There are not many games that I'm not going to be in or be on. I think my – this one's kind of obvious, but I think one last bust out relative to his price if he gets the minutes, Dwayne Dedmon against the Boston Celtics. I think that he was huge for us on Sunday.
Yeah, he was.
And while that's you know, a little bit of recency bias and everything else like that, Vucevic is probably going to play power forward. Deadman's going to probably end up being the center that plays. He didn't play that great in his last game. That's to be fair. That's to be honest, because Vucevic came back. However, I think if he gets the minutes and he's wrestled that position away from Channing Frye, I think he's good to at least make 4.5, 5 times his value, maybe even 5, 5.5 times his value against Boston, because they're so small up front. And I don't think a lot of people will be on him, which would make him a pretty interesting GPP play. But you just need to, I think you, for him to really maximize the opportunity if he starts, you have to really watch what ends up happening with Vucevic, because his ankle may still be bothering him a little bit. And if he indeed does start over Channing Frye. So Dwayne Dedmon, potential bust out candidate for tomorrow against Boston.
All right, Dwayne Dedmon, you're up, buddy.
Yeah.
Don't let it calm down.
No, don't. Please don't. I haven't. Yeah, just don't. Just don't do that. Don't do it. Please don't do it. I don't know why. I hate Drake, but I shouldn't say that. I'm not that enamored with Drake, but he makes some catchy ass songs.
Yeah, that's pretty much his appeal.
Like, that's, it's not, and it's just so annoying that that's the appeal. Like, I can't not sing it.
He is definitely one of the fakest personalities in music, I think, today.
Don't let me do it, mama. Don't let me do it, mama.
That song is trash.
That song is awful. Just, I don't even know where to start.
See, if you're reading this, it's too late. I guess it was a mixtape that he just released so he could get out of his contract with Birdman.
Mm.
But, and there was some good songs. Like, I think it was 6 p.m. in New York was good, 6 God was good, 6 Man was good. But that's pretty much all because they had good beats.
Mm-hmm.
But man, some of those songs, like when he's singing about how he's got a Beretta and he's gonna go like threaten people with it, like, come on, Drake. No.
Don't do that.
Yeah, if the only time Drake's ever fired a Beretta, I told you this the other day, but the only time Drake's ever fired a Beretta, if he ever has actually fired a Beretta, is at like the gun range on like a Saturday with his homies.
I just want to know what it
feels. He's never taken out his Beretta before.
I just want to know what it feels like, guys. That way, when I rap about it, I know what it feels like. It's kind of like
just the power in my hands.
It's kind of like that It's Always Sunny episode where they have to kill Papa, or they don't have to. Sorry. They have to take Pop up off of life support, but they're like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, have you ever killed anything? No, I've never killed anything. Well, I kind of need to know how it feels before I do it. that's what it seems like. I mean, that's more or less what it seems like.
All right, so I'm pretty much tapped out of bust outs and busts. So let's kind of. Time is it? We've been on for. We can just cut this part out. We've been on for about an hour now.
Yeah. Oh well. So, I mean, we have like 2 minutes before we reach an hour. That's the.
All right. So let's run through a lineup. All right. So I have two lineups that I've kind of thrown together really quick based on what we've been talking about. The first one, I went with Aaron Brooks at point guard. Like you were saying, he's a good candidate to bust out tomorrow. He's going to have as many shots as he wants. That's why I was on him when he was cheaper. It's just because he was missing everything, but he's going to get 20 shots a night anyways, so it doesn't really matter in the daily fantasy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, I went with Kevin Martin, who was one of my bust outs. And then I went down to TJ Warren, who I'm pretty confident in tomorrow at least being able to get to his value, which would be about 18 points.
Right, that's just him purely getting into the game.
Yeah, he should, even if it's a blowout, he'll play. So I'm not too concerned about it. We can look at other value plays at small forward tomorrow if we want. And then I have LaMarcus Aldridge at power forward. Pretty confident in him tomorrow. He's playing really well. I think he's only had one or two bad games since he came back from the thumb.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And then I got Boogie Cousins. Again, we talked about him for a little bit. Aaron Aflalo, who we didn't really talk about, and there's other options who are pretty cheap at guard, but he took 13 shots against Houston and only made two, and still got 17.75 fantasy points. So,
I have to imagine that that's an aberration. He's not a guy that misses that many shots if he takes them. I don't think.
No, and he's getting good looks too. It's not bad shots. It's just he's just got to hit them. So, and against Detroit hasn't been very solid against wings all year long. So I will take him at 4,600 as a value play. Then I have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, which we could swap Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Warren, kind of like lock MKG into the small forward and then look at other forwards if we wanted to see what other options are out there for that 3,500 or less.
And that's a key thing to remember because, as we were talking about earlier in the podcast, being able to slot them differently allows you some more flexibility than everything.
Exactly. And then my last guy is Goran Dragic at utility. Pretty confident in him tomorrow.
It's a pretty strong lineup.
We could take Dragic and a follow and swap their spots too.
Okay.
And that would leave us with 4,800 to spend on a utility player.
Yeah. I like that. I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. Here's one that I've thrown together, and I know you have one more after this one, so it's a nice kind of way to wrap it up. Aaron Brooks is a bust out, much of the same reason that you mentioned. J.J. Redick is a guy that I have at shooting guard, mostly because he's been on fire the last week and a half. Who does he share time with? Like nobody. I don't think he shares time with anybody.
Who is that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean not even
JJ. Who?
JJ Redick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think he really.
No, Austin Rivers, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think he shares time with too many people. So, he's gonna
Nate
get.
Robinson now.
Yeah, he's gonna get the minutes, and he's gone up against mostly, you know, I don't know, Devin Harris and Monta Ellis and a couple other guys, so he'll be able to get his, and with point guard Chris Paul, diamond at the rate that he's diamond, he's going to get open shots. MKG, I think MKG is definitely in our core play along with Aaron Brooks for tomorrow. It just makes a lot of sense in that Charlotte's been playing some pretty strong basketball. They had some boneheaded plays against Sacramento on Wednesday, but for the most part, they've been playing pretty well. And I feel confident in MKG with Zeller out and now Al Jefferson out because he looks like he takes onus. He takes ownership of having to rebound the ball if they're down bigs. LaMarcus Aldridge is another play that I have at power forward. Just makes a lot of sense. Boogie, again, makes sense. Reasons that you mentioned. Goran Dragic, of course, the guy that I called to bust out. I think he does it spectacularly tomorrow. And then a guy that was really good for us on Wednesday as a cheap option, and he produced at a high rate because not only can he rebound, but he can shoot the three, Marvin Williams. I think Marvin Williams is a pretty solid play tomorrow against a shaky front court in Chicago and the fact that he's going to get those minutes because Zeller and Jefferson are out. So I really like Marvin Williams tomorrow against Chicago. And then lastly, this is all pending Brandon Knight playing Marcus Thornton in the utility spot. He's one of those guys where if he gets the minutes, he's pretty good at scoring. Doesn't do a ton else, but I think with the fact that, he's in Phoenix. I was thinking about him being in Boston, but if he's given some ball handling duties in Phoenix alongside like Bledsoe, Warren, Brandon Wright, one of the Morris brothers, he should be able to pick up a couple assists. And if that's a blowout, doesn't really matter. He's a bench guy. He should get time to make value of at least 20 to 25 points.
Yeah. So, they were using Archie Goodwin as a backup point guard, but he wasn't initiating the offense the whole time. They were using Marcus Thornton to do that too.
Yeah, and I feel like that makes a little bit more sense because I think they're going to be easing in Archie Goodwin as that backup point. And Marcus Thornton, he's been a combo guard pretty much his entire career, and he's shown at times to be able to facilitate decently in Sacramento, and his pretty dominant rookie season for a second rounder when he was with the New Orleans Hornets way back when. So, That's my lineup, and that's more or less how I see it going, or I feel about it going tomorrow. With and I think I'd say that my core, or our core, would look like Aaron Brooks, MKG, and maybe Goran Dragic as like our top three guys.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I threw together one more, but this one, the first one, I feel like is more or less kind of locked in. I like that lineup. We could talk about the forward and utility spots, but the first six are pretty solid, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I started off, this was kind of before we started talking. I started off with Russell Westbrook, which I know you don't like, at 12-5. And then I have Kevin Martin again, MKG again, Aldridge again. And then I went down to Bismack Biyombo at center. And then I have, this is a kind of a situation I'll be watching tomorrow, because one of these guys did really well for us tomorrow, or I think it was Monday, maybe it was Wednesday, but Ishmael Smith, for the Sixers, he killed it. He was only 3,000, I think, on DraftKings, about 34 points. But right now I have actually Isaiah Cannon slotted in, guard.
And that,
he's
all
4,600.
Yeah, and that all comes down to whether or not Ish starts.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
But even so, I think Cannon put up in 30 minutes against Chicago, because he was sick, he put up 25 fantasy points. So I think one of those guys can be slotted into that guard spot. And then I have David Lee, which is kind of like a placeholder for right now. I know Steve Kerr talked about resting some of his guys. I think he's going to rest Bogut and Iguodala at least tomorrow, and maybe Draymond Green. So I'm kind of anticipating that David Lee gets heavy minutes at least tomorrow, or maybe Saturday, one of those 2 days. We'll see kind of like as the news comes out. And then the last guy I have right now is Gorgui Jang at utility. He's only 5,000 right now, but I don't think Petrovic is playing. He banged up his ankle against Phoenix. I think he only played like 12 minutes and then he had to leave the game. So.
Oh, that's something to really keep an eye on. I think, yeah, that makes Gorgui look really gorgeous. Oh, that was worse. That was so bad. I couldn't
help. Yeah, that's cut that.
Hashtag worst behavior. Anyway.
Worst.
That's awesome. I think that caps off a really good podcast, really good night. And we're just going to continue doing this stuff. It's been really fun, especially seeing the constant success. Now, the only thing that is causing consternation and frustration is the fact that we're like 10% of the way there. And all I want to do is just hit one time. That's it.
Yep.
And we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. So, for Clement Uduk and Blaine Jungwirth, we're saying trust your gut. Because we know that since we've been doing a whole lot better. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So build that core. Trust that gut. Get yourself some money. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
See ya.